This episode of The Faithful Agent brought to you by our sponsors, Rachel Inman with the Mortgage Mamas, and our sponsors at Patreon.com. Christians in real estate, let's dive right in and learn how to grow our business and grow our faith.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Faithful Agent Podcast. We are glad that you've joined us. And quite honestly, it's been a little while for Tyler and I since we recorded because he went and had another baby, which it's amazing. We like that, right? Bo is what, as we record, a month old. He's a month. Wow, that's amazing. We still haven't met him. Tyler is obviously doesn't actually love me, but I love you still, buddy, and that's okay. And that's what matters. I do.
All the relationships. Arrows in my quiver, man. Arrows in my quiver. Shoot me.
Don't get them on your side and turn them against me. That's already happening. Every conference we do, people love you more and they like me less. So, you know, it is working. Your diabolical plan? Dialogical? Ooh, that's buddy. What I was going to say.
That word's too big for you.
Yeah, that is a big word for me. I just went to a liberal arts school. What am I talking about? So, T, man, let's kick this off, dude. We're going to have an awesome conversation today about the definition of success, but give me a good Christian joke, because apparently people like yours, they don't like mine, so why don't you go first?
We've gotten feedback, right? We've asked you guys for feedback. Tell us what you like about this. Tell us what you want. And, you know, overwhelming feedback has said that you do not like our jokes. So we're just going to keep doing them, you know? That's the standard Garrett operating procedure. So all of you people listening can get a small dose of what I endure daily with this guy. But love him.
Not daily, because you don't always answer my phone call, but every other.
It's for the sake of our relationship. So, but my joke is, what do you call a priest who becomes a lawyer? A father-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Hey, Rivington kind of laughed at that.
Right. You are surprised. You're always surprised. You have such a low expectation of me. Like, I can't even tell a bad joke. That's why you don't ever let me talk, is because it's such a low bar of who I
am. But I love you anyways. Right. Okay, so I have a question for you. If Moses were alive today, Tyler, why would he be considered a remarkable man? Because he'd be several thousand years old.
Yeah.
Hey, you like say that? That got a better laugh from Remington. I think I'm gaining ground again on the joke front. So that was awesome. Audience, please put your poll and tell us who was better. We've got an awesome guest today, Remington Ramsey. With a name like that, how could he not be successful, right? You have to if your name is Remington Ramsey. And Remington has started Real Producers. Many of you, they're in 130 cities around the country. Real Producers magazine launched that in 2015. They're going to have a $30 million in revenue as a podcast, Real Producers. They're going to be launching their first national event next year, 2024, maybe 2025. So check that out. Got married in June, which is awesome, man. Super excited for you, bro. Blended family with three kiddos, man. And it's super awesome to have you here. And today we're going to be talking about the definition of success. One of the things Remington was telling us is they're really highlighting the top 5% of agents in each local market wherever they go. And I mentioned to him this idea of the scoreboard that I've been talking about, audience. You hear me talk about that. There's this common agent scoreboard, transactions, GCI, all those things that we just all kind of measure success against, whether or not we meant to or not. And it causes us to do things maybe we weren't going to. We need to have our own scoreboard, right? So Remington is the perfect person to come in here and have that conversation because their business highlights those top people. But what does success really look like? So Remington, man, thank you so much for joining us, brother. Bro, just dive right in. The definition of success in real estate.
Oh, boy. Well, thanks for having me, guys. I'm a huge fan of what you're doing here with Faithful Agent. Great concept. I'm sure you've got a great rapport with your listeners, something that we all aspire to have. So success is funny because it's in the eye of the beholder, in my opinion. We've had, think about this, we've featured 12 people on the cover each year, right? Every month there's a cover story and there's 130 cities. So quick math, that's a lot of realtors giving their explanation of what success is. And most people, when asked that question, say, well, it's not about money. It's not about selling houses, man. I'll tell you that right now. But in reality, like, that's what success truly is. Like, you know, show me what you mean versus tell me what you mean. But a wise entrepreneur once told me they'd never put your net worth on your tombstone. And
that's right.
I think that I think when we get to heaven and we're thinking about what a successful life here on earth was, none of us are going to like open up our bank account, see how much what I accomplish. But yeah, I think for me, as I've seen the people who do it, in my opinion, the right way versus the ones who struggle, faith, family, vocation is like the common theme. And there's a lot of cliches that are going to happen in a podcast where this is the center stage success, right? We're going to have a lot of cliched statements. But I mean, I think I would really challenge people to ask themselves, like, do you really think what you're doing now is going to further the goal that you have for yourself? Because I've met some very happy, poor people, and I've met some very unhappy, rich people. Mm-hmm. So I'll pause there for reflection, because I feel like that's kind of the direction that I'll probably take success.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I think it's so fascinating. And T, I want your take, because you obviously played professional baseball, but this concept of you've met a lot of really happy poor people and you've met a lot of really unhappy rich people, right? We all would say that, yeah, it's not money. Money's not going to define our happiness, right? But then we all pursue the same thing, right? But then we pursue it anyways as if it does. Like, I had that realization where I woke up one day and said, it's not about how many deals I've done or how big my team is. And then I look on my whiteboard, which I'm looking about right now, and literally what I was measuring was how many deals had we done and what the size of my team was, right? It's like, wait a minute. I say these things aren't how I measure success, but when I actually measure it, that's what I'm using, right? And so I think it's this culmination of this is what the industry is talking about. So we kind of fall in line with that a little bit, even if we would say we wouldn't. But T, man, you talk a lot. Number one, Rim, you use Tyler's favorite word, which is vocation. You can count on multiple hands and toes.
That's his jam, huh?
How many times he says the word vocationally in a given podcast.
We've all got one.
T, yes, that's right, T. Man, you were in a space where faith, family, vocation, that was completely swapped, right, in the professional field. So what do you think about that?
I think it's great. I love what you said, Remington, about just the clarity that we spend so much time. If it's not about money, it's not about selling houses, but so much of what we're investing our time and our energy into is that. So one, it's about, this is another image that I use all the time, cleaning our mirror and saying, what is our motivation? Like, why are we doing those things? Because selling houses and making money is not a bad thing if we do it for the right reasons with this prioritization that you talked about in mind. If you have a really clear understanding of why you're selling houses and why you're making money, and you're doing those for reasons that are aligned with the kingdom and your greater purpose, that's a good thing. You know, that's absolutely a great thing. You don't have to be a believer, love your family, pursue your faith, be passionate about what you do and not make money. Like, those things are not mutually exclusive. Like, in fact, they should be somewhat married in a way, because if you're excellent at the things that you're passionate about, then the world will reward you for those things. And so, you know, what I think that the discrepancy comes in, and the danger of pursuing those things, is that we get lost along the way. You start realizing that, you know, I'm trying to make money and I'm trying to sell, or I'm trying to run my business well so that I can provide for my family. And you start using these motivations selfishly for your own pride and for your own vanity. And we're just not strong enough on our own to recognize that. That's why we need people in our inner circle. That's why we need accountability. That's why, you know, we need to have these self-checks to say, like, what am I really laboring for and what am I working for? Am I doing it for the right reasons? Is it lining up with my scoreboard? Which I know Garrett will talk about. That's such an incredible image to what we're talking about right here. But I mean, when I was playing ball like that, I was in a room of lost dudes looking for one thing. I mean, every day you're focused on winning, which is winning is a good thing. It's good to labor to win. Like, we do not a sin to win. But when you get so lost in, you know, what your statistics are or what your paycheck is that's coming every 2 weeks and the life that accompanies that, like, to whom much is given, much is expected. And it's easier for a camel to fit through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven, because all these things that are layering on top are just stacking the deck against you if you're not constantly coming back to the foundation and recognizing what your motivations are and the whole thing. So, explain the scoreboard. I don't know if you've talked about it already here. I've heard you talk about it so many times. I don't know if you're talking about it today, but this is a perfect time for you to explain what that means.
Yeah. Well, so, and we talked a little pre-show because I want your feedback, Remington, right? The scoreboard, again, is simply the common agent scoreboard, number of transactions, what was your GCI, what was your volume? And then my challenge is create your own scoreboard, right? For me, I realized a year ago, I don't want to make decisions off that. I don't want to work Fridays. I want to take a day date with my wife on Wednesday. I want to not work past five. Mm. Basically, I'm not going to give up my wife or the little years of my kids for whatever the world defines success, right? So, man, you live in this world, Remington, of the top performers, right? And you talked about the average faith family vocation, but man, what is it? How many of those people would you say really do have a clear understanding of their purpose?
I mean, I don't know what percentage. I do know that a lot of people think they've got it all figured out and they don't. What I love about success is that it gives you a platform to impact people in a way that truly matters. So what the world defines as success would be money, cars, fame, Instagram followers.
Yeah, and that's right.
And none of those things are bad until they define you. Honestly, like even the poorest of us can have idolatry in our lives where our identity is found in one thing. And when that one thing is taken away, we're in a world of hurt. And as you guys know, if your identity isn't in Christ, you're going to continue to try to find that void. So for me, what I've found is the more success Real Producers has and the more success, you know, I personally have, am I using that in a way that would glorify God? Am I becoming the man that he wants me to be, regardless of what all the toys are saying? Because to be honest, like, I like the toys. I like the watches and the cars and the fun vacations and stuff like that. But if those were taken away, would I still be the same man and use the same talents that I have to glorify him? And I think that that's kind of what the measuring stick or the scoreboard, as you put, Garrett, should really be. It's cool that you actually have a whiteboard defining that. Do you literally put like date night on Wednesday and then check it off?
Yeah, so it's right in front of me, and it's 1 week off a month, two dates a month, and down to 195 pounds, which is never going to happen because food is delicious. But yeah, no, it's right in front of me, and it's just I look at it every single day to hold me accountable to make sure that that's how I'm actually measuring success. I don't hit it every time, right? Let's not pretend like I'm perfect at this by any means.
What's the one food that's keeping you from hitting 195?
Man, not donuts. I should eat those more. I don't. What's the one food? I don't know.
Sugar? For me, it's sandwiches, dude. Sandwiches.
Yeah, sandwiches.
Sandwiches keep me from hitting my goals.
Yeah, dude. A good, man, we talked about a brunch place before we even got to the
show.
I know,
it's the first thing we discussed.
Yeah, right. We know what we're all motivated by, and it's okay. The Lord made good sandwiches too. No, I love what you're talking about too. You know, earlier today, I was spending time. So I do thinking time sessions, Remington. I'm sure you've heard of those. But a friend of mine challenged me, instead of doing that, he said, do a question mind. So very quickly, what that means is instead of sitting down in your thinking time, write out a question, then try to answer it. You just only ask yourself questions until you actually feel like you got to the right one, right? So because the quality of the answer is direct relation to the quality of the question, right? So I started today, this is about 2 hours ago, I started today of, Lord, what do you want for me, right? Or what do you want from me, excuse me? Like, which direction am I supposed to go? And I kept asking questions. And it came down to this question, which ironically is kind of what we're talking about. I wrote out and to ask myself, and I did thinking time around, am I seeking faithfulness or financial security, right? Which one of those am I going for? Because I could say, oh, we run the faithful agent, right? But we're sinners too. And I could say, I'm just seeking faithfulness. That's what I'm looking for. But I think if I'm honest and I stop to really picture, what am I doing each day? I'm way more seeking financial security. I'm going after comfort, not in pursuit of my convictions, right? And that's difficult. And man, is that, it convicts, to use the same word, convicts me. And that's why I was spending that time like, man, Lord, help me to pursue my convictions and trust that you're going to provide. But I think there's this aspect of, we say, I'm going to be faithful. Exactly what you said, Remington, all of these things, like having great vacations is awesome, man. What a blessing that we live in a place and can make the money to do those kinds of things. The Lord is so kind in that, and we shouldn't ignore his kindness in that. But what would happen if he took those away, right? How faithful would I be if all of a sudden no money was coming?
Right.
Where would my heart be? And hopefully by his grace, that will never happen. But if it does, I got to understand who I am and where my heart is. Do you want to generate more leads, create more leverage, and have more life? Do you want to build business the way the Lord called you to by serving and loving people? Well, we want to help. I've sold over 500 homes in just 8 years, all by relationship, and I show you how in my 8-part e-course on the foundations of lead generation. Just go to FaithfulAgent.com, click Get the e-course to learn more, and just for being a faithful listener, use promo code PODCAST for $100 off. Now, back to the show.
Man, what do you, I just love your reaction to that. Seeking faithfulness or financial security.
Well, Tyler said something earlier, like, I think your relationship with money is what the most important thing is there, because, like, I grew up pretty poor. And so the money was indirectly kind of evil in my eyes, like bad. Like, if you have it, the people that do have a lot of it are bad. Like, you should, once you get it, you need to give it away. I grew up in as a pastor's kid, so we didn't, there was no extra money. But when I started seeing success in business, it was really kind of a scary transition of like, oh, is money good? Like, what is it? And like, in reality, like, if you look at people who are successful and have all the money, like, if you are someone who subscribes to, well, if someone who is working hard as a Christian business owner and they get a lot of money, they should give it all back. Like, for me, the way I look at it is, money is a tool to do a lot of good. And if only the people who we don't think align with our morals or our faith are the ones that have a lot of it, we're going to be in a world of hurt. So the Christian leaders, the ones that are actually making, I would much rather have people that I trust that have my best interest in mind and the Lord's best interest in mind, I'd rather them have more tools at their disposal. And so I encourage we have 130 publishers and we talk about money frequently, and I encourage them to figure out exactly what the number is by which they need to live in a comfortable manner and what that number is for them to get to the point where they're now giving it away and impacting the world with the extra that they bring in. And that changes the game. That changes someone from being comfortable and making enough money and kind of like floating by and then having a bad month and being stressed out about finances. Like, those of us who thrive, the high flyers, we thrive, and hopefully we thrive because once we get to the pinnacle, then we go even past it so that we can keep on bringing more money in to fund these things. Like, for instance, human trafficking is the number one thing that we are fighting right now as a publishing company. Mm-hmm. Millions of dollars we're raising to fight human trafficking. And that's awesome. You can't do that without money. It's literally by definition raising money. So, yeah, I'm pretty passionate about that.
No, it's amazing. Well, so I think, you know, and I want you to keep talking about that, but just this past week, so I'm the chairman of the board of this local nonprofit that serves women with unplanned pregnancies called CareNet. And we raise money, right, for an important mission. We raised $460,000 at the dinner that we hosted on Friday. Awesome. And amazing. And if every Christian was supposed to have no money and be terrible and have no success, we wouldn't be able to do this important work. You guys right. wouldn't be able to, you know, fight human trafficking and those things. So I think that for us, what I seek is, right, to use Tyler's words, because he's right, being faithful is not mutually exclusive to having financial security, right? You can be faithful and not have it. You can be faithful and have it. Your job is to be obedient. The Lord will determine what the outcome of that is. But being obedient and then the outcome, exactly what you said, Remington, of now we've got money coming in. It's okay to have a nice house. It's okay to go on nice vacations. That's all right, right? It's okay for your kids to not just wear Old Navy. One day we'll buy online instead of in stores. No, but those things are okay for that to be the case. But it's also an excellent way, like you said, I love you said earlier, success. I forget exactly how you worded it, but success gets you on bigger stages, essentially, absolutely. Right? In front of more people. Mm-hmm. More money gives you more opportunity. The guy that came and spoke at our CareNet dinner, Ben Watson, who played professional football, he's an amazing dude with an amazing heart for these unborn children. He wouldn't have been there unless he was a pro football player, right? That's why it was so interesting to have him. And so I love that that's the concept. We should be excellent in what we do, and the Lord will bring those things about, right? But you've seen now, and so much of what we try to teach people is business as mission, right? You've got this real producers. You guys are raising millions of dollars for human trafficking. You are using your business as mission, right? Unpack that. Where did that come from? How do you guys actually execute on that?
Well, first off, you mentioned Ben Watson. He won me a couple weeks in fantasy. Yeah. So huge heart, Huge props to Ben Watson outside right. of just the fact that he's raising money for these great things.
He actually said that. I think he's like, are you talking to this guy Remington? Yeah, I think I wanted
to. I wanted to see what I was a star player.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, sorry to derail you. So basically, the structure, you know, I actually had the founder. So with Real Producers, I actually partnered up and essentially sold the idea right off the bat to a publishing company called N2 Publishing. Both of those owners of the parent company, which is a $150 million company, are Christians. And so I had one of the founders on. His name is Dwayne, and he talked about the dynamics of how you pick and choose which charities and organizations to actually give money to, because once you see success, everyone's asking for it and you want to say yes to everybody, especially the ones that align with your values. It was an interesting podcast. I'll send it to you guys. You can check it out and maybe even have Dwayne on at some point. But he talked about the fact that that was what his heart was broken for. And so he chose that as the direction to all the extra dollars coming in. And then what it evolved into is we now actually figure out based on sales. So like our publishers can actually, based on how many sales they make, tell you exactly the number of dollars that is going into these organizations to fight human trafficking. And now when I'm working, and again, like sometimes as salespeople and business owners, we get complacent because we're fat and happy, right? We're fine. We're comfortable, and comfortable is dangerous. And so like if you're looking for reasons to be inspired past just the immediate success of your business, tying it to something that's much greater. Now, when I make a sale, and you can share that with the people that you're selling to, you can share that with your sphere, the clients, the consumer, and everyone around. And the quote earlier that I said that I love and subscribe to is that what I love is about success is that it gives you a platform to impact people in a way that truly matters. Because the success that you actually are having, like wearing a nice watch and driving a nice car, doesn't impact people the way that the mission of, you know, again, fighting human trafficking, it's not even close. Like no one wants to talk about that. And we get glorified on all these different platforms for, you know, being successful than when they do the accolades. But I can't wait for, and maybe you guys do this at your convention, but I can't wait for like the actual accolades of bringing up a speaker and doing all the stats of what we believe a successful life actually looks like. And then saying, oh, by the way, they sold $200 million worth of real estate. Like that's the way I feel like it should be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's that. I love that. It's the kind of an inverse order of operations right there. I think success is not the outcome. Like we define so much as success as getting to a goal or getting to the number or a metric of performance or making it to the major leagues. But there's always another watch. There's always another car. There's always another house, right? Like the success getting to accomplishing these goals in our businesses and in our personal lives is fleeting, right? Nobody disagrees with that. So if you can look at success, as scripture would tell us, to just the process of running our race well and taking joy in the ways that the Lord's working in our lives, that's what success is. A active verb. It is not a noun, right? Like it is constantly going, constantly happening, and defined as enduring for the sake of the gospel and for your purpose, like having a really clear understanding in that. I have been wrestling for so long. Like I confess this, and that I think that the talents that the Lord has blessed me with, that I am actively burying where I am and what I'm doing in life. I don't know what it looks like to allow them to flourish, but what does it look? I mean, like to dig those up and allow to trust that the Lord will use you as the vessel for the gifts that he's given you to bring honor to his name. That's what success looks like. I don't know how to do that. It's not a template. It's different for everybody else. But as you can start peeling back the fingers, like the clenched fist that you have on the control of your life, that's the way that the Lord allows you to start thriving for the sake of his kingdom. Success comes in the sanctification along the way, not just in like, I've made it. I don't have to work anymore. I got the cars that I want, got the passive income that I want. I can go on any of the trips that I want. All those things are good. All those things are very good because they allow you the platform. They create the time. They give you the opportunity to dig into the passion that you are. Or that you have, but that's what always brings me back to vocation, to my word. Mm-hmm. Like you wrestle with this thing. Like if you have clarity on when I get to financial freedom or when I have all these things, this is what I want to do. Why aren't you doing that now? Because that's the convictions and the passions that you have, that you should be figuring out how to do that on your mission constantly.
How do you think Remington, because, you know, we're coming towards the end, but I'm really curious your thoughts. Someone right now is listening and saying, you know, our conference was about finding your God-given purpose. Mm. Thanks for that background noise, T. You dropped your cup. That's okay, man. You know, I'm funnier anyways. So, but it was all about finding your God-given purpose. We say that, and so many people say, and I am too, and so is Tyler, I'm wrestling. How do I find my purpose, right? How do I find what mission I'm on? Speak to that. How do you think they do that?
Yeah, and I think wrestling's a great place to be, right? Jacob wrestled. I think you are starting in and maybe currently even in the right place by wrestling, but at some point you have to just act before you actually know what the answer is going to be. Some of us would love to have all the answers before we jump in.
That's Tyler, yep.
Yeah,
for the record.
Yep. I also think this kind of speaks to, I had a buddy who was really wrestling. He and his wife couldn't get pregnant, and they wanted to either try, you know, processes that were very expensive to get pregnant or adopt, both of which they didn't have the money for. And I remember we were floating in the water in kayaks, and I just looked at him and I said, man, I don't think money should ever be the reason that money should never stand in the way of doing what you think God wants you to. If God wants you to have a family, if you feel like that, but you're just confused because it's not happening, like, I don't think money is ever going to be the reason why that doesn't happen. And I think as an entrepreneur, that was easy coming from me, who as an entrepreneur, like, one, I have a huge risk tolerance, and two, I have shown, at least in my own businesses, that I can raise capital pretty quickly. So I hope that that's not the reason why I said that. I hope it was more faith-based, but I can see people who don't have the same risk tolerance having that kind of a mindset. So if you apply that to kind of wrestling with your potential and what the next step is, I would just encourage you to take a step in a certain direction, and you'll find out pretty quickly if the door is open or closed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's good, man. That's really good. I love what you said. You know, take an action and then you find out. It's not the other way around. It is absolutely true.
Yeah, perfect is the enemy of done. Perfect is the enemy of done. I love that phrase. And that was me. Like, I'm OCD. Like, you know, that doesn't work. It's going to keep you from living your full potential. So, like, if you're looking, the way I apply that to what we're talking about is, if you're looking for the perfect sign or the perfect layout of the direction that you're supposed to go, it's not going to come. It's literally the enemy of you just going out and doing it. So if you make some moves, and I also think one thing that is special, I mean, you're talking about this on a podcast, which is bold, and you're being vulnerable, but if you have more conversations with people that really care about you, like, how can that be a bad thing? Going to people and saying, what do you think? When we started Real Producers, I met with 50 realtors to ask them what they would want to see in a magazine and what would make it successful and what would make it tank. Now, you also have to calm the naysayers, like, because a lot of them, most of them said it wouldn't work, it was print advertising. So there's a lot of that, too. So you got to have thick skin. But if you're actually talking to people who care about you, listen to what they have to say and take it into account and take that first step.
It's good, man. I love that. So much good stuff here, brother. We could talk for a long time, but man, this is not a 10-part episode. This is one episode. So we'll end it there for now, bro. But man, anyways, such a good conversation. How can they connect with you, brother, or where would you want them to go if they want to learn more?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing right now, since we're on the podcast space, is just, if you're looking for more cool podcasts, we have one called Real Producers Podcast, where we interview mostly top producing agents all across the country and share really cool stories of people overcoming pretty crazy odds to be successful. And then they occasionally get in some big names in real estate in there too, like authors and speakers. And so Real Producers Podcast, that's where I'd send you.
Awesome, man. Go check that out. Faithful agents, support him and what he's doing. I know some of our community even is deeply involved with Real Producers. So continue to do that and do it well and serve the mission of the human trafficking and serve the mission that they're working here. So we love you, faithful agents. We are grateful for you. Keep tuning in each and every week. We'll see you then. Hey, faithful agents, as always, thank you so much for joining us again. We hope you will continue to help us build the faithful agent community by sharing this episode with your friends, tagging the Faithful Agent group on Facebook, and by actually downloading this episode to help us beat the algorithms and get the good word out to other faithful real estate believers. Go to faithfulagent.com and click join our Facebook community to join us, and we will see you next week.